Welcome to Eastside Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us today. We hope that the Lord speaks to you through this message. If you have any ways that we could minister to you or any prayer requests, please contact us at ebckro@gmail.com or 229-377-4154. Now let's tune into the message.
Psalm 23. So we are just going to open it up this morning and start with Psalm 23. We're going to read all the way through it. This morning's going to be a bit different than it usually is when we're together on Sunday mornings. We're just going to walk straight through Psalm 23 this morning, and we're going to see several things, probably things that you've seen that are obvious in Psalm 23 before, and then we're going to look at a couple other things in the New Testament as we reflect back on Psalm 23. And hopefully as we do all those things, we'll be applying the Word to our own hearts and minds and lives. So, are you ready? All right. Psalm 23, verse 1. Follow along in your copy of God's Word as I read. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. It's a good psalm, isn't it? A place that we can just go and just drink in encouragement from God's Word. First thing we see here this morning is that the Lord, God Almighty, is the shepherd of His people. And His people are His sheep, right? David begins his psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd." And we immediately assume that if the Lord is a shepherd, then David is a what? Sheep, right? And sheep are needy creatures. They're not the smartest animals. So notice, as David confesses things about the Lord, he's also confessing things about himself, right? If the Lord is his shepherd, then David is not the smartest creature on the planet. He's not the most self-providing creature on the planet. He is needy. He needs guidance. He needs protection. He needs provision. He needs the presence of a shepherd, right? He is needy. And we see that as the Lord, as a shepherd, He provides these things. Look at verse 2. We see guidance and provision. So He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. For a sheep, a green pasture rather than a rocky cliff is a good thing. One, it's safer. Two, it provides food, right? So the shepherd, the Lord, makes David lie down in green pastures. He leads him to a place where David is comforted and fed, right? But not only that, He leads me beside still waters. So rather than the opposite, He doesn't lead him to a place of danger beside rushing waters, right? Where a sheep could try to get a drink of water, but could be swept away to its demise. He leads him to still waters. So guidance and provision. Green pastures, food. Still waters, safety and water. And continue to read verse 3. He restores my soul. Help and healing. A wounded sheep cannot heal itself. It needs someone to care for it, provide for it, to spur on its healing, whatever that may take, whether it be a bandage or some kind of splint. I'm not a vet, but those things, all those things, right? He restores my soul. Let me just pause for a second. Have you ever been in a place in your life as a Christian where you've been hurt or wounded and just needed restoration of your soul? Like your soul's tired and bitter and broken and hard, and you just needed your soul to be restored. Flesh again, where food and water can permeate it once again, where the Word of God can permeate it once again, where you actually hear words of encouragement and receive words of encouragement and are encouraged. Have you ever been there? David was there and had been there multiple times. And he says this about his Lord and his God. The Lord is my shepherd. He restores my soul. Church, that is such good news. God is good. He loves us. He loves you. Help and healing. Verse 4, continue to read. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for your rod and your staff, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So not only does the Lord provide guidance and just basic provision of what we need as His sheep, He gives us help and healing and restoring our souls, and at times more than just our souls. Many of you, I know, because I've seen it happen just in the last few years, the Lord has, for some of you, restored your health, the health of your body. He doesn't always do that for us here and now, but He will for all of us one day at His return. But here we see He provides protection. We see an image here. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and many times we read these words, and myself included, we rightly apply them to days of mourning and grief in the shadow of a loved one's death, right? In the shadow of the loss of someone we love, we read these verses with great comfort. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And that is rightly applying the word, but that is not the only way we can apply this. For a sheep that is following its shepherd, depending on where they were going, they could go through some rocky terrain, some dangerous terrain. At times, terrain and paths that on both sides of the path, and some of you that have seen movies that were filmed in the Middle East, or some of you that have been in the Middle East know this to be true. There's places that are like meadows, but then there's places that are rocky and mountainous and dangerous. Because when you're walking through the paths and you have walls of rock on either side of you, only what is hidden in the rock, that is unseen. And many times what is hidden in the rock are predators for the sheep. It's dangerous for the sheep to go down those paths. And with that in mind, David says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even though I'm walking through a dark place where my life is threatened by things I'm not even aware of, that the shadows alone strike fear in my heart, I won't fear. Because one, I have your presence. You are with me. And two, you have your rod and your staff. And with your rod and your staff, you protect me from my enemies. You protect me from those who pursue my life and pursue to hurt me. The things in this world that could cause me harm, you protect me from those things. And not only that, with your rod and your staff, you guide me in the right way through those nooks and crannies that would otherwise be dangerous and hopeless apart from your guidance. You do all those things for me in the valley of the shadow of death. Therefore, I will fear no evil. So we see guidance and provision, help and healing, but not just those things, also protection from the Lord. So far, if we were to read no other piece of God's Word, although God's Word, all of it from Genesis to Revelation, reflects all of these truths found in Psalm 23. But if we were just to read the first four verses of Psalm 23. I don't know about you, but I would want to know and have a relationship with David's Lord. I would want his shepherd to be my shepherd. You can call me a dumb sheep all day long as he is my shepherd. Because just from these first four verses, he is good, isn't he? Christians, we should be encouraged just by these first four verses. If you're here and you're not a Christian, you should be wooed by the loving kindness of an all-powerful, all-creating God who knows you and knit you together in the womb of your mother. Yet, in the life you have here and now, is offering a relationship to you with himself where he is your shepherd, providing, guiding, helping, healing, protecting you. Yes, thank you, Lord. But let's keep reading. It gets better. Verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. So, just in this one verse, we see guidance. If we put it together, the Lord has prepared a table for his people, for David. So the Lord's prepared the table, and if he's prepared the table, he's the one that's extended the invitation to the table, right? So he's guided David to the table. We also see the provision of the Lord. It's not just a picnic in the middle of a grassy field anymore. It is a table filled with food where he can sit comfortably and eat at his will. So guidance and provision in the presence of his enemies. So if David's going to actually enjoy this meal, the Lord's going to have to provide one other thing for David at this table. And that is protection. Right? And help. David goes on to say, "You anoint my head with oil." At the end of verse 5, "My cup overflows." During this time, and even during Jesus' time, a common practice and one of the most obvious ways to extend friendship to someone and love to someone was to show them hospitality. Bring them to your table. Feed them. Treat them as a guest. And the way you honored a guest was you anointed them with perfume. Not quite this much, though. "You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows." So the oil that the Lord is anointing David with, he's using so much of it, which is valuable, that David's cup is overflowing with goodness. So here's what I want us to see, just so far, through verse 5, is God's guidance, provision, help, healing, protection, he provides. But in verse 5, we see he doesn't just provide them, but he provides them abundantly. More than we could ever need. He's not giving us scraps and fending off our enemies at a distance. No, he's sitting us down in front of our enemies, treating us with supreme hospitality. And remember, the Lord is the King of Kings. So we are sitting at the King's table, taking of the King's food, being treated as a guest, an honored guest by the King. Under his protection, his help, his healing, his guidance, his provision. He provides all those things to his people abundantly. Praise God. He provides those things abundantly in the midst of good days and in the midst of dark days, right? Remember verse 4, "As I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." So David is not guaranteeing, he's not saying, "The Lord is my shepherd, he won't take me through the valley of the shadow of death." He's saying, no. "The Lord is my shepherd, and when he leads me through hard days, and when he leads me through valleys, he will continue to provide for me, and provide for me abundantly, all that I need and more." It's important for us to see this. There are preachers and churches today that are preaching, if the Lord is your shepherd, you won't have bad days. And that's a lie from the pit of hell. So Christian, if you're having bad days, know that the Lord has not abandoned you. Know that you haven't gotten Christianity wrong. Know that your life is in line with God's Word. Yes, we will continue to walk through valleys. Yes, we will continue to walk through excruciating seasons. But what will remain true, whether it's a wonderful season or a terrible season, is that the Lord is with us and He will be providing everything that we need. Verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So all this that we're saying about the Lord, His guidance, His provision, His help, His healing, His restoring of our soul, His protection, it's true for us here and now. If you're a Christian, it's true for you, like it's happening now. Whether you are taking advantage of it or not, that's on you. But it is happening now. It's available to you now because the Lord is your shepherd. But it's not just available to you immediately, it's available to you abundantly, as we've said. And it's not just available to you abundantly now, but the last words of David in this psalm, verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. Yeah. These things that we find true of the Lord in Psalm 23. When we place faith in Jesus, we are adopted as sons and daughters of the Most High God. They are ours. Then, and they will be ours forever. Praise God. Nothing's going to change that. And the truth of the matter is this. Like, it's only going to get better. Our days here, while they may be hard, and for some of us, the seasons may not get any easier. But when viewed in light of eternity, our days here are but a drop in a bucket, a vapor that's here in the morning and gone by noon. The hardest days are now when we get to enjoy the Lord's provision here and now, but He has a table waiting for us for eternity that we get to sit with Him as His sons and daughters if we are in Jesus. Praise God. So, I'd say Psalm 23 is food for the soul, isn't it? I want us to apply this to our lives in two ways this morning. And I want to do that by looking at two different passages in the New Testament. I don't have two more sermons planned. But I just want us to look at at two passages where Jesus Himself illustrates these things that we find in Psalm 23. Okay, so first, I want you to go with me and leave your finger or a pen or something in your Bibles in Psalm 23. We will go back there. But first, go to the Gospel of John chapter 10. And in these verses, we could read the whole chapter. I would encourage you to read this whole chapter. We're just going to read a couple of excerpts from this chapter. Jesus is speaking directly to those who were already following Him. But as He spoke to them, He was speaking truth to those who would eventually follow Him, us. So the things that he's applying to his disciples then can be applied to us now. John chapter 10, verses 11 through 15. This is Jesus speaking. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. So let's just pause there for a second before we go any further. So if you're a Jew, today, if we're a Christian, we don't have the Old Testament down like Jews did then, but there's certain portions of it we have down, like Psalm 23, right? When we hear these words out of Jesus, and I guarantee you, when they heard these words out of the mouth of Jesus, all the imagery of the Old Testament of God being a shepherd to his people, including Psalm 23, came immediately flooding into their minds. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, Psalm 23, rolling through their minds. He is the one that gives me guidance and provision and help and healing and protection. Jesus is saying, he is the Lord that is my shepherd, and that he is the reason I will not live in want. And on top of all that, Jesus gives us one more truth about the good shepherd. What does he do for his sheep? He lays down his life. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. So don't miss it. Jesus is our Lord, and he is our shepherd, and as our Lord and our shepherd who provides provision and guidance and help and healing and protection, he laid down his life for us. In our place, in the place of the sinner, he died on the cross. In the place of the sinner, he lived a perfect life. And on behalf of the sinner, he achieved victory over sin and death. Don't miss it. He did that for you and me. You may have to turn your page, but go over to verse 27. So as Jesus identifies himself as the shepherd, he continues to teach with that in mind. I'm going to read four more verses, 27 through 30. Jesus says this. He says, My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. There's a lot we can say about that. But leave it to say this. Let it just say this morning. Jesus is speaking of his protection of his sheep here. He spoke of it back in 11 through 15 that we just read. He protects his sheep because he cares for his sheep. The hired hand doesn't care, so he flees when danger comes. Jesus doesn't flee when danger comes. When death comes, Jesus takes it. He died on the cross for us. And not only that, once we are his, we are in his hand. And here in this passage, he says, no one can snatch them out of my hand. In other words, no sheep will be removed from my guidance, my provision, my healing, my helping, and my protection. No one can remove any of my sheep from me. They're mine. Christian, we can praise God today that as sheep, our shepherd holds on to us, even when we're prone to wander. Even when we do wander, our shepherd holds on to us. If you are his, you are his, and nothing is changing that. No one is changing that. That's why in Romans chapter 8, Paul goes into almost a hymn-like explanation of this truth. Who can separate us from the love of God that is found in Christ Jesus? No one and nothing. Praise God. Our good shepherd doesn't say, hold on to me and you'll be fine. No, he says, I will hold on to you and no one, nothing can snatch you out of my hand. The image that we find in Psalm 23 and John chapter 10 of our shepherd is an image of love. He lays down his life for us. He helps us, heals us, provides for us, protects us, guides us. So let me, before we go any further, let me ask you a question. Do you know him as your shepherd? You may have heard about the Good Shepherd. You may even have believed that the Good Shepherd exists, but have you surrendered your life to the Good Shepherd? If you haven't, you can today. You don't get all your sheep riches and go to him and say, hey, Good Shepherd, if I give you this, will you give me that? No, you come to him as a beggar. And you say, Jesus, I believe you laid down your life for me, and I need your perfect life because I am full of sin. And I need your death because I deserve death. I need your death in my place. Please pay my debt. And I need the new life that you achieved with your resurrection. Please give me new life. And he will. And you will be his, and it's done. You're his sheep. Needy, a needy sheep, you will be his. And nothing will change that. Perhaps you need to do that today. You can. You can do that. You can tone me out for the rest of the day. You can do that right there in your pew right now. Cry out to the Lord in your heart and ask him to save you. Christian, he cares deeply for you. Whatever season of your life you're in, you aren't far from his protection. You aren't far from his guidance. You aren't far from his healing. You aren't far from his provision. He loves you and he cares for you. You are his sheep. You know his voice. Won't you listen to it this morning from his word? And be encouraged. Jesus is a good shepherd who laid down his life for us. It's good, isn't it? Now, one other place I want us to go that we're going to end on this morning is Mark chapter 6. Those of you that have been with me for most of the last 2 years know that this is a passage I come to often. It's one of my favorite passages, period, in the Bible because of how it displays Jesus's, well, how it displays Jesus as our good shepherd. Mark chapter 6, verse 30, we have the feeding of the 5,000. And Christian, if you haven't listened to anything else, I want to encourage you to listen here. I'm going to read starting in verse 30. I'm going to read this whole passage. And as I read it, I want to point things out to you. Verse 30 of chapter 6, the apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. So Jesus, let's pause. Jesus and the 12 and perhaps some others are ministering. And Jesus is well known enough now that people are flocking to them by the hundreds, trying to get them to teach and minister to them, heal their relatives. And they are exhausted to the point that Jesus says, let's get in the boat. Let's go find a desolate place where no one and nothing else is and rest because we've had no leisure. And I want you to notice something. They went to this desolate place in a boat, which means this desolate place was beside what? Water. Right? And probably still water. Stay with me. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd and he had compassion on them. So, hold on. They get there to rest, right? And when they get to the place they're going to rest, all the people that they're trying to run from and get rest from are there waiting on them. Jesus sees them. Verse 34, when he went ashore, he saw a great crowd and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." So, full picture. Disciples are tired. Their patience is gone. It left like 14 days ago. They're ready for some food. They're hangry and they're tired. They're like, "Jesus, we just saw these people. It's getting late. They're going to need to eat. We care deeply about them and they're going to need to eat. So let's send them away." Right? So they can go get something to eat. But remember, Jesus has seen these people and he sees them as sheep without a shepherd. And he cares because he's a good shepherd. Verse 37, "But he answered them, 'You give them something to eat.'" That's a command. You give them something to eat. "And they said to him," and this is what I would call sassy. "They said to him, 'Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?'" Sarcasm there. "And Jesus said to them, 'How many loaves do you have? Go and see.' And when they had found out, they said, 'Five and two fish.'" So five loaves and two fish for 5,000 plus people. The disciples, the 12, are tired and hungry. They're hangry. They're impatient. They need rest. It is a legitimate need. They need rest. They need food. Verse 39. "Then he," Jesus, "commanded them all to sit down in groups on the" what? Yeah. Green grass. So get the picture that Mark has given us so far. They're beside still water, sitting on green grass. You with me so far? Okay. "So they sat down in groups by hundreds and fifties, and taking five loaves and the two fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the two fish among them all. And they ate and were satisfied." So those 5,000 people ate plus people. There was probably closer to about 10,000 there. They ate to the point that they were satisfied. It's like the point where you like lean back in your chair and you're like, "We shouldn't have ordered that appetizer." They were satisfied. Jesus has miraculously provided for every person there except for who? The 12 disciples who were going there to get rest and food, right? And they're worried about themselves. "Jesus, how are we supposed to, we don't even have enough food for us," right? They're worried about themselves. They've been ministering for Jesus already. It's time for them to be ministered to by Jesus. Verse 42, "And they all ate and were satisfied, and they took up the 12 baskets full of broken pieces of the fish, and those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men." How many apostles were there? How many basketfuls of bread and fish were there? 12. And those basketfuls weren't picnic baskets. They were like 50-gallon baskets. The disciples were worried that in the midst of giving themselves away to other people for their Lord, that their Lord wouldn't provide for them. And He did, abundantly. Church, if we follow Jesus in serving one another and loving one another and serving our community and sending the gospel to the nations, there are going to be multiple points in the life and history of our church where we come to the end of ourselves and where we are tempted to say, but Jesus, we are tired, we are hungry, don't you care? Why do you keep sending them? Why do you keep sending us out? And that's where we have to remember that Jesus is our good shepherd who provides for us at every point of need. And He doesn't just provide what we need, He provides it for us abundantly. So church, that should never be a fear of ours. Moms and dads, grandparents who are praying and ministering to your children and grandchildren and your siblings and people in your church family, and you're praying for God to do a work in their hearts. There will be days, right, where you're just like, done. It's too much. They're too hard-headed. I don't have the energy or the time. Lord, I know You want me to, but I'm hangry, right? And this is the point where we have to remember that Jesus is our good shepherd, and what He calls us to, He will more than provide for. And that means time, energy, resources, all of the above. Last week was the Southern Baptist Convention. Charlotte and I had the privilege of going to Dallas on Eastside's behalf. Thank you for allowing us to do that and sending us to do that. The best part of that, all of it, regardless of what you heard on Fox News and CNN, if you heard anything, was Tuesday night there was a commissioning service of 79 missionaries, many of them single young adults, many of them young married adults. All of them, I would say, were probably under the age of 40. Some of them with young families, young children. The vast majority of them, I would say 50 plus of those, they couldn't show their faces on the screen. We could only hear their voices share a small piece of their testimony. Because they're going to places in our world where the gospel is not supposed to go. But we, the church, can send them there in good conscience because we know that the Lord is their shepherd here and He will be their shepherd there. Regardless of where He sends you, Christian, or who He sends you to in Grady County, the Lord is your shepherd. He is our shepherd now, so you can be comforted in whatever circumstances you stand in the midst of today. But He is your shepherd in the future. So wherever He calls you to in the future, you can be comforted. Parents, wherever He calls your children, grandparents, wherever He calls your grandchildren, you can be comforted. If they are His, He is their shepherd. That's good news, isn't it? Church, today we can stand and sing, and my hope is that we will, in light of the fact that the Lord loves and cares for us unceasingly, now and forever, if we are in Christ. If you're here and you're not in Jesus, you can place faith in Jesus today, and we would love to walk you through that. You can come forward or pray in the pew or come find someone after the service is over. We encourage you to do that. Perhaps today you just need to get down on your knees and just say, Lord, I'm at the end of my rope. I need a basketful. And I know You're my good shepherd. I believe You're my good shepherd, and I need You now. Wherever you are, I want to encourage you to respond however the Spirit's leading you this morning. Let's pray. Father, we love You. God, we thank You so much that You did not assign someone else to be our good shepherd. But you love us and you care for us enough to send your Son to us to be our good shepherd. You have given us your word to guide us. You've given us your spirit to empower us. And Lord, you provide all that we need in every circumstance. God, I pray that you would increase the faith of your church today. Those who are struggling that are your children here today, I pray that you would increase their faith. And Lord, I pray that you would convict anyone who is here that does not know you of your righteousness and their sin and the truth of your Son's life, death, and resurrection today. In your holy name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
Hello, my name is Andrew Donaldson, and I am the pastor here at Eastside Baptist in Cairo, and I want to thank you for taking time to study God's Word with us. If the Lord is working in your life and you have questions about anything you have heard, or you have questions about what it means to trust and follow Jesus, we want to connect with you and pray for you, and walk with you through God's Word to answer your questions. The best way to do that is by clicking on the contact link at the top of our webpage. There you will find our phone number, 229-377-4154, and our email address, ebccairo@gmail.com. Thanks again, and we hope you have a wonderful day.